Thank you guys for that truth and song. We have a wonderful Savior, don't we? He carries us, He sustains us, He loves us. And I think it's marvelous to hear a family singing a truth like that. Thank the Lord for the opportunity as family to just speak to our kids truth. And singing songs of truth is a great encouragement. And so thank you all for your involvement. Our kids can be dismissed, all those 10 and under, for a time in the Word of God this morning. All those 10 and under, we have a children's church program. And parents, at your leave, they'll be downstairs and waiting for you after the service this morning. We're in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And I hope that you'll follow along. If you're using one of the Bibles there in the pew, it's page 144 in the New Testament portion of that Bible, Romans chapter 6. And follow along with me in verses 11 and 12. Romans chapter 6. And verse 11 and verse 12. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Romans 6 and verse 11 says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." This morning we're going to be looking at this matter of reckoning ourselves dead to sin and alive to God, and understanding what this truth is as we've been looking at dead to sin. What does it mean for a person to be dead to sin? When you talk about dead to sin, Pastor, what are we looking at? Well, this morning, it's a matter of your thinking, as we saw last week, and also your doing something with your thinking. Doing something in action because of what you know. Let's pray, and we'll look at this together. Father, we do thank you for your word. I pray that you would minister to our hearts through your word this morning. To those who have trusted Christ, this morning may there be the encouragement of what you have said, taking root in our heart, what our position is and the reality of our state. If we have trusted Christ, it is a secure one and one where victory can be known and that we are alive to you. Help us to learn more of what that means today. For one that may be here or watching online who does not know Christ, who doesn't know what it is to serve anything other than what everyone else serves, help them this morning to see that you have provided a way for sin to be paid for and for victory and for shame to be gone and victory to be known. And I pray that you would encourage one this morning who may not realize there is hope for them in Jesus Christ. We praise you for the hope that exists in our Savior. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. Just this past week, our two-year-old, we have five kids, our two-year-old James is always learning. If you've ever been around a toddler, it's always exciting to see the things that they're learning, the new things that they're just figuring out. You know, we're past walking, we're past saying basic words. Now we're on to counting. And his brothers and sisters love teaching. In fact, they're always saying, "Dad, I got him to count up to 10. And the other day, he was doing it. A two-year-old counting up to 10. Isn't that a pretty impressive thing? I'm just a proud father. Can you tell? My kid can count to 10. Now, I have to tell you, counting is a basic. I know you all learned how to count a long time ago, but counting is really important. Being able to go from 1, 2, 3 and getting basic things in order are important because fact is based on how you count. I mean, if I don't count correctly, I might be in trouble when it comes to doing actions. If I asked you this morning how important counting is, I might ask it with, "Do you know what's in your bank right now?" Now, you don't have to tell me what's in your bank right now, but do you know what's in your bank right now? You know, it's really important for you to know what's in your bank because doesn't that impact your actions? Every one of us recognize the importance of what I have impacts what I will do or not do. You know, oh, I can't do this because I don't have this. Oh, I can do this because I have it. And there is a great amount of comfort and security if you know what is in the bank when it comes to making decisions. For the person who does not know what is in the bank, decisions are going to be very, very scary and oftentimes filled with misdirection, right? If you don't know what you have, this is not a financial sermon this morning, but there is a tie to what this passage says. When Paul uses the word in verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, he's using a term that is like counting. Counting something. If I know I have a debt that is going to cost $1,000 that is due, and I know that there is $1,000 in the bank, is that a comfort? It is if you need something and you know you have it. If you don't know if you have it, yet you know you have a need, anxiety, fear, uncertainty creeps up. And that is not how you are to be as a Christian, with uncertainty about what you have spiritually. Now, this passage is talking about being certain. Verse 11 is all about correct calculations based on facts. Correct calculations based on facts. And we're going to talk about where the facts come from and how we are to count, not being from what I observe, but from what God has said. And if God says you have something, you need to count on it. Can I say that again? If God says you have something, you need to count on it being so. And counting on that is an action. It's an imperative that you're to be involved in. And I believe it's an action that you need to be continually reminded of, that we as Christians, those who have believed on Christ, need to be correctly calculating our position and what has been provided for us in Jesus Christ. You don't have to guess about what you have in salvation. Can I just encourage you this morning? You don't have to guess about what you have, as it were, spiritually in salvation. There are some things about our salvation, aren't there, that are a little bit beyond our comprehension. There are some things you're never going to understand in this life fully of what God did in that moment when you trusted Christ for salvation. Because our minds are limited. Our minds are just finite. But there are things that God has told us, and they are certain. And because of that certainty, I can make decisions based on what I know. And Paul is interested in the church in Rome, those believers in Rome, correctly seeing their salvation. In Romans 1, 2, 3, we saw that all are guilty, all are sinners, and in need of help. In chapter 4, we saw the justification that can be made possible, the way that we can be made right with God. How can I be made right with God? Well, by faith. By faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, I can be, and you can be, given righteousness that isn't yours, it's from Christ to you because you believe. That is a wonderful truth, and we're going to talk more of that. In chapter 5, we're reminded of the benefits that come from one who is justified. God has wonderful things for you to know He has provided, to be encouraged by. Now in chapter 6, He deals with sin. Did you know that if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you still have to deal with sin? Not for the payment of it, for you to be right with God and get to heaven, as some may even teach this morning. Well, you just need to keep working at it, and if your good outweighs your bad, God will let you into heaven. God will say you're good. We've clearly seen, I don't have anything that God's going to be impressed with in me. The only way that I will be clean before God is the righteousness that comes from Jesus. And faith in Jesus is what results in my being clean before God. His blood was shed for me. I trust Him, and He gives righteousness. Now, what about sin in our life? How do we deal with it? How do we address it? At the beginning of chapter 6, we saw that there were some that might have asked the question, and hypothetical question at that. Well, if God's given you grace, then does that mean you can do whatever you want? And aren't there people that love to just kind of, well, you're one of those people that just says, you believe, so you can do whatever you want now. And Paul says in very strong words, God forbid. That isn't even possible because you're dead to sin. And that's what we've been looking at. What it means to be one who is dead to sin. That is a reality, a factual position that you are in if you've trusted Christ. And we're going to see this morning some more details about that. We have observed that access to this new life, this way of victory, starts with your knowing. We saw that in verse number 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? That identification we saw last week. We are to know of our death. And that verse number 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That's a thing to know. Know your identity, know our death to sin, and then knowing our destiny. We saw last week in verses 8 through 10. I know what will happen in the future. We believe that we shall also live with him. Because of what he has accomplished, we know the future. Now, this morning, Paul uses another word besides knowing. He uses in verse number 11 the idea of reckoning. Verse number 11 says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I want to just discuss those two aspects of verse 11. It's not just reckoning or calculating that you are dead to sin. That is part of it. You need to count it true, you are dead to sin. But the second half of that verse is also important. Look again at verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves dead indeed unto sin, but what? Okay, that was really dead, y'all. But it still sounds kind of alive. Let's try it again with some enthusiasm. Ready? Reckon ye also yourselves dead indeed unto sin, but
alive.
Yes. Now you say, okay, Pastor, I'm alive unto God. Think about that for a minute. Alive unto God. There's a great reality for you to know that you are now alive unto God. And we're going to look at this morning, because if your thinking is not correct about this, that idea of being alive unto God may to some people sound like, oh no, this sounds like a bunch of rules. Oh no, this sounds like a bunch of I have to's. No. I'm dead to sin, which was never good for me and always harmed me. And I am alive to God, who created me, who loves me, who gave himself for me, and wants me to know him more. That's all good. One all bad, and I'm dead to that. And one all good, and I'm alive to that. Now, if you don't realize how exciting that is, I want to encourage you in that this morning, because it really is exciting. And you say, Pastor, okay, how is it so exciting? It's truth that you've got to calculate decisions from. It's truth that you have to make living decisions, daily decisions, based on. We find a word in verse 11 that is often used in Romans. It's the word reckon. And I grew up, maybe you, some of you heard people use that term reckon. And where the part of Indiana I grew up in, there was enough southern, I guess, in that area still. There's southern around here. There's a lot of Kentucky in this area, I've come to find. Just out of curiosity, how many of you have relatives from Kentucky? Look around. It explains our church a little bit. Okay. Now, the reckon, you know, you've heard people say things like, well, I reckon, and they mean I suppose. I guess so. I reckon. Someone says, I reckon it's going to rain. And they're kind of guessing at a thing. Or someone says, I reckon we better be getting on home now. Some of you have heard people talk like that. Yeah. And they're talking in kind of a, I suppose, or I guess we ought to do this. If you heard someone say, I see the clouds getting dark, I see the wind picking up, I see the animals getting restless, I reckon it's going to rain. That would be close to what we're talking about here, but it's not quite there. It's close because of what you're observing, you've made a calculated choice. All right. But there's a difference that's significant between reckoning based on your observations and what is taking place in this passage, because we're not called on to make a reckoning, calculated decision based on our observations, but based on what God has said. And do you know there's a big difference in those two things? If you make calculated decisions, I see the rain may be coming because of the dark clouds and the wind is picking up and the animals are restless. I reckon, I suppose, I guess this is what I will do then. I'll go home. You're doing that based on what you can observe. But can I ask you something? What if you were wrong? Have you ever seen the wind pick up, the clouds get dark, and it didn't rain? I have. You know what's true about your ability to reckon If it's based purely on what you can observe, there's limitations connected with that. You can be wrong. You're like, Pastor, I've never been wrong a day in my life. Okay, let your spouse elbow you. All right? We know what it is to be wrong in our reckoning. Can I tell you, though, what Paul is asking these believers to do is not reckon based on their observations or their feelings. He's calling on them to reckon on something that God has declared. Reckon, count something based on facts. In fact, we see that use of reckon in the same way in chapter number 4. Look back at chapter 4, just as a reminder. The word reckon, as we find it here, is also translated conclude, impute, counted in your Bible. And in those passages, it's found 19 times, that word, in the book of Romans. The book of Romans is a very logical letter calling on people to think. In fact, the word has the idea of thinking there, your correct thinking. But if you're going to calculate correctly, whose authority do you base it upon? Tonight in our evening service, we're going to talk about the many infallible proofs in Acts chapter 1 that Luke and in sharing to Theophilus gave him encouragement to know things. Why? Because aren't there skeptics today? Have you ever faced a skeptic? You're like, I'm sometimes a skeptic myself, Pastor, you might say. Can I tell you that that's not unusual? You might find yourself asking questions, and that's not odd. That's normal. The question is, who do you look to for the answers? You go to the internet, are you going to find a lot of answers from other skeptics? Yes. You go to what God has recorded, and you go to what God has said, and you'll find answers that are settled, that are secure, that you can base your life decisions upon. And that's what we need to do. What does God say? And that is how I'm going to operate. And when we look back in Romans chapter 4, notice with me some of the things that God says that he has settled. It's set, it's concluded, and you need to realize it and think that way too. Romans chapter 4, verse 3 says, For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. The word counted there, same word as reckon. So God has no problem calculating things as he sees fit. Do you know that God reckons? He does. God has counted something as legal tender. Do you know what God counts as legal tender? What he counts as accurate in the bank? If one believes on him, there is righteousness that he will give. Not works to get righteousness. No, no. Faith. Look at verse number 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. How does God compute, calculate faith? Well, he calculates that as faith equals righteousness, given, counted to one. That's great. You know why? Because you and I would never be able to work enough to impress God. We sang earlier, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You will never impress God by your works, by your efforts, in a way that would bring about your salvation. Not going to happen. You know what God desires? What God has said he counts for righteousness? Faith. You depend upon what Christ has done. You know what God says? I will give you the righteousness that Christ has bought and paid for. It's yours. That is marvelous to know. That's a comfort. You can count on that. And you need to know that you can count on that. Things that God has said, this is what I want you to know. You need to know it. You need to count on it. Let me just give you a couple of things in Romans 5 that you can count on. In Romans 5, 8, you can count on the fact that he loved us. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved you. You can count on that. He not only loved you, he gave his son to die for you. You can count on that. Romans 5:9. You were, the Bible says, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I can know, God wants me to count on, in the bank is the fact that he loved me, that he sent his son Jesus to die for me, that I can be saved from wrath. Aren't those good things to know that are in the bank? They are big and they are important. Verse number 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. You know what you can count as in the bank? Reconciled to God is in the bank. You're no longer an enemy and at war with God. You're now in the family. You're not an enemy. You're reconciled to God. That's in the bank. Verse 11 says, and not only so, but we also joy in God. I think that's important. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. We have received atonement. Sin is paid for. That's in the bank. Now, Christian, I bring all these things up because if you forget that they're there, it'll impact your decisions on a daily basis. It's like knowing there are things that need to be paid for and thinking, oh no, I don't have anything in the bank. Oh no, I'm empty. That's not the case, Christian. There's a lot spiritually that you and I are to draw from and be reminded as their realities for you to know. Look at chapter 5, verse 24, or 21. Chapter 5, verse 21. One of the amazing things that is a reminder for that you have, that as sin hath reigned unto death, verse 21 of chapter 5, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto, what's the next two words? Eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. How do I have eternal life settled? Well, if your good outweighs your bad, or as some people say, which that's not correct, your good outweighing your bad, or as some people might think, well, if you just keep on being good enough, you'll know that you have eternal life. You can be sure of it. Friend, that eternal life is resting in the grace of God, His kindness, not me. That's if it rests in you, you're going to have a lot of questions every time you have a struggle. You're going to have questions every time. Well, I just made a mistake. Did I lose eternal life? Friend, it wasn't something that you could lose to begin with. It was by God's kindness it was given. And it's settled. It's in the bank. It's not going to be stolen. Now, do you reckon on the facts that you know about God and then live based on what you know? That's what Paul is aiming for. Verse number 6 of chapter 6. Our old man is crucified with him that henceforth we should not serve sin. You know, that's in the bank. Your old man, the old nature of sin that we continually want to go back to doing things that are wrong, that nature that is in everyone around this world that consumes their thinking of doing and serving sin. You are dead to that. When you trust Christ as Savior, you are no longer a slave to sin. That is a reality. That is something for you to count on. You don't have to serve sin anymore. And while that's a lot of things to have in your bank account to count up, they all equal out to this. Your debt is paid. Your salvation is settled. You are no longer an enemy of God. Don't sit over here wondering if the debt is paid. Don't sit over here wondering, am I an enemy of God or is God angry at me? Christ made you reconciled. Do you think that way? Do you reckon that way? Some of you are looking at me like, I don't know, Pastor, what are you getting at? You know, there are a lot of Christians who have trusted Christ, but who continually battle with sin and wonder as they're battling with that sin, oh no, is God going to not save me? You know that thinking that way is not something that you ought to be doing. Because if Christ died for your sin to make you reconciled to God, God is not wondering whether or not you're His. He knows. You're to reckon based on what He says. How do I know if I'm His? Well, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that believing, ye may have life through His name. I believe that idea of living out the life that He has made possible. If you're in doubts about things that He has promised, you're not going to live out life like He wants you to live it out. It really is important to know, what has He settled, and do you count on it as He does? A lot of Christians can live in fear and doubts about whether they're saved because they keep looking at their feelings, at their performance, at their actions or their lack of actions. And in fact, chapter 7 of Romans, Paul's going to deal with that very question. Do you know that it's not uncommon for a Christian to want to do things and not do them when he should? Did you know that? You're looking at me like, okay, you need to agree that this is a reality, that there are things you ought to do that you won't always do. That ought not be the continual pattern, but it's a reality that it can happen. Christians who believe that they have to be perfect, because if I'm not perfect, I may not be saved, are not thinking correctly. Your perfection, your being right with God, has to do with Jesus Christ. You and I are to be growing more and more in the image of Christ, because one day I will be perfectly complete. I'm looking forward to that. One day I will no longer battle with sin. Do you battle with sin right now? Well, that's what this passage is about. Because your thinking will impact your actions. Reckoning, counting on things because God says it. Here's the second thing in our passage, and it really is a help to knowing how I live in righteousness, how I live in holiness. It's not only that I realize and reckon myself dead indeed unto sin, as verse 11 of chapter 6 says, but the second half is so vital. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. By counting the first half correctly, you can count the second half correctly as well. Again, this is God's stated facts we are counting on. He has freed us from sin for a reason. Why were you redeemed? Why were you set free from an old master of sin? Because God has something else in plan for you and something you could not do before. Do you know that when you were a slave to sin, some people despise the idea of, you call me a slave to sin? If you have not trusted Christ, all you can do is serve sin. There's no way to get around it. That's your master. When you trusted Christ for salvation, that old master's authority died. His dominion over you died. But get this, you still have to see that it's the case. You don't have to serve what you once served. And if your thinking is correct, I'm dead to sin, you can now, because of what Christ has made you, serve God. You can be alive unto God. You can glorify God. You can please Him. Before you were crucified with Christ, that old nature of sin dominated. When you trusted Christ, that died. That dominion died. And that has changed you forever. I'm thankful for that. I'm in a new position because of the work of Christ. I now can serve God. And you must choose to identify yourself correctly. You must live in the reality of that. That's why this verse is an imperative. When you read verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves, that is a command. You must choose to think correctly about your position. Why do you need to choose that? What's the purpose of a command? It is so that you would live in victory. You know, it's not so that you can be saved or continue to be saved. It is so that you would enjoy the realities of what God sees. If you will reckon on the same way that God reckons, you can make choices. I have a friend who's in business, and he told me that from the earliest ages of his business career, when it was just mowing yards or whatever, he always knew what he had in the bank, and he always knew what the value of his equipment was. And you know why those two were important? Because if he always knew what was in the bank and he always knew what the value of his equipment was, he could make decisions for his business based on what he actually had. And it kept him from getting overspent or overextending himself. Now, that makes just good business sense. In the home, don't spend more than you make, or don't make more than you spend. No, that's okay. Don't spend more than you have, right? Well, as a Christian, I think sometimes we live in great lack where we have great riches. Did you hear what I said? We live in great lack where we have incredible riches. We live thinking, oh, I just can't have victory. Oh, it's so hard. No, I'm alive to God. If you got up every day and thought about the fact, I live today to glorify God, that's what I'm made to do. Would that change your actions for that day? I can serve God today because of Christ. Would that impact your choices of that day? Well, of course it would. You know what? If you get up in the morning and think, oh, man. And everything that you think of throughout the day is, oh, hard, life, me, what I have to get done, and you don't connect it at all to what your purpose actually is, you know, you'll be a very discouraged person. Can you work in a secular job for the glory of God? Absolutely. Can you take care of kids, change diapers to the glory of God? You know, like, what? Yes. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. You say, even the nastiest of jobs. Yes. Why? Because I know what I'm doing it for. I know where this is going. I see what my purpose is. You know what your purpose is, Christian? It's to glorify God. You are created for His glory. We sang as a choir. The choir sang this morning, He's the creator of it all. Do you realize that He's the one that we serve? Let me give you three things very quick and we'll be finished. Counting yourself alive unto God means counting that you were saved to have a new master, to have a new director, a new one in charge. Sin once reigned, now you're alive unto God. Romans 6:12 illustrates that very point. Look at Romans 6, verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, what's the next word? Reign. It once reigned. It no longer needs to reign. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. I no longer have to serve this. And by the way, the fact that you can choose to not let it reign means that it's a matter of your correct calculations. I don't have to serve it. I won't. I don't need to. This is no longer the master. God is. What does He want? What is His desire? You know that if I realize that, and that's what will separate decisions throughout my day, it will make a tremendous difference on your battle with sin, with your battle with what God wants versus what the sin master wants. And by the way, you're going to face decisions of this kind all day long, every day. All day long, there are going to be decisions that are focused on who reigns by this decision. Does God reign or does sin reign in this? Who is directing me? Do you ever feel the pull of these in your life? Do you ever feel the pull of sin? Just be honest this morning. Is it not a strong pull? If you're not ever feeling a pull, you're not realizing that we still live in a world that is constantly enticing you and trying to grab your attention to follow it. You don't have to listen to that, though. Your victory is in knowing who your master is. And I will tell you, knowing His directive comes from knowing His word. The more I know of His word, His Holy Spirit takes that word and directs me. This is what I have for you. This is where I want you. This is what I want you to do. Not this, this. Not this, this. That's practical. You can count on the fact that you were saved to have a new master. You can count on the fact that you were saved to receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit. You can count on that. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 13, Galatians 3:13, the Bible says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ redeemed us by suffering a horrible death, being cursed for us. That, verse 14 says, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You know that when Christ died to redeem you, He died to redeem you and to give you the Holy Spirit to enable you and me to please the Father, to enable you to glorify Him, to serve Him, to be alive unto Him. You can't do that without the Holy Spirit of God. Can I just tell you? We're going to learn more of that. But you cannot be alive unto God without the Holy Spirit of God, which is why at the moment of salvation, you had to receive the work of the Holy Spirit. You don't receive Him later on. You either got Him at the moment of salvation or you didn't get Him at all. You either are saved and have the Holy Spirit or you're not saved. The Holy Spirit of God is that seal, the earnest of our expectation. You receive the Holy Spirit at the moment you trusted Christ as Savior. And because of that, you receive a blessing. You receive a marvelous help. And you need to know that you can be alive unto God because the Holy Spirit of God lives in you, enabling you to do what you cannot do on your own. You know that's why in Galatians later, the challenge is walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? We'll talk more of that. But friend, God's given you His Spirit. You can count on that to enable you to live unto God. And here's the third thing, and we're finished. Count on the fact that you were saved to glorify God. Count on the fact that you were saved to glorify God. Being alive unto God was His plan for you to glorify Him. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You know, the best thing you'll do in accounting is realizing you don't belong to yourself. In counting yourself as alive unto God, the best thing you'll do is to realize, I don't own me. God owns me. I don't get to call the shots. The one who put everything in the bank gets to call the shots. You ever been in charge of some amount of money, but it was someone else's, but you were in charge of it? But for you to spend it, you had to ask permission. In great sense, friend, everything you have, in a spiritual sense, is because of what God has given. And the spending of that is to be directed by what He wants. The life that you have, you're to let Him direct it. Let Him guide it. Let Him be in charge of it. But it's a battle and a choice that must be made. And your correct calculation, your correct accounting of things is what you and I have a choice to make in this. Are you thankful that He is in charge of you? You know, if there's a battle with that, and there can be a conflict that goes on. And it most of the time comes when I don't correctly see His position. And the book of Romans was written to help people correctly see what salvation has done. I think it's marvelous that we can proclaim the gospel. Paul says in chapter 1, verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." If you trust Christ, you can be made right with Him. But God wants you to know more than just the fact of being made right and, okay, now that's it. He wants you to know more of that. He wants you to know what the extent of that salvation was meant to accomplish. And it is exciting to be alive unto God and dead to sin. And you need to know what that is more and more. And we'll look at next week this matter of yielding. Paul uses that phrase in Romans chapter 6. And you say, "Pastor, are we ever going to get through Romans 6? Yes. But are we ever going to be done with a sin battle while we're on this earth in this body? No. You realize that? We're going to continue to have the need for this. And I want to ground you well in knowing what Romans 6 teaches so that you and I would live in victory and that we would live correctly accounting. Would you bow with me for prayer this morning? Are you counting things the way that God wants you to? Do you see the account spiritually the way God does and wants you to see it? And friend, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, He says that you're dead to sin. Is that how you're counting? He says you're alive to Him through Christ. Is that how you're counting? And I want to challenge you, Christian. This morning, maybe there's been some incorrect thinking. And the Word of God has pointed that out. The Holy Spirit's saying, you need to think this way. I will guarantee you, thinking correctly will impact victory over sin. Thinking correctly, calculating things as God does, will give you and I the foundation to take actions that we ought to take. And that's all been provided by God through His Spirit. Friend, you may be here and have not yet accepted Christ to save you. Why not today? Why not today? You may be new to this concept of being dead to sin, but I got to tell you, sin is a wicked and horrible master, and all it does is destroy. And no matter how well you feel like you're doing, sin is not your friend, and it is destroying, and it will lead you to death. And God says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the position of everyone. And this morning, the Bible says very clearly, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You turn from yourself and your efforts. You turn to the one who died for you, and you trust Him, Jesus Christ, and He will save you from sin and from its power.
And you can know that this morning. And we'd love to share that with you. If you've got a question about that, in a moment, you just come and say, Pastor Finney, I've got a question about that. I want to know what it is to trust Christ this morning. I don't know that. I would love to share that with you. And that's what we are about here, sharing how you can know new life in Jesus Christ. Christian, if God's dealt in your heart this morning, why not take some time this morning just to thank Him for your position? And if there's a need to change some thinking, some calculating, that you would do that this morning would be my prayer. And I hope that you'll do that. We're going to have the instruments play, Thank You, Lord, number 622, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. The salvation that we have is rich, and it was free, and we ought to be a thankful church this morning for that great salvation. And some of that reckoning this morning that we might have as we take some time, we call this an invitation because it's an invitation to spend time talking to God about the decisions that need to be made. The Word of God has been declared. There may be things you need to do with that this morning. Perhaps just taking some moments there where you sit or coming here and praying at the front and saying, God, I need to change the way I'm looking at things. I give that over to You this morning. Perhaps you want someone to pray with you. Our deacons will be here at the front and willing to pray with you in just a moment. If there's an area of need, let's take a few moments to give that to the Lord this morning.